Well, shalom and welcome to another 2 hours of Jewish soul music. I'm your host, Charlie Bernhout. This is an unusual program. We're going back a few years. We're going back 21 years to a program that I had at Seton Hall University when I had the two-hour program there. It's October 20th, 1994, and Reb Shlomo Kalbach passed away. That was on a Thursday. The funeral was on a Sunday, and my show was the evening of Reb Shlomo Kalbach's funeral. And there'll be some interviews with, first of all, with dear friends Arnie Young and Tovin Meir Friedman, Arnie of Clark and the Friedmans of Highland Park, then Velvel Pasternak, Rabbi Chaim Wasserman, who at that time was at the Young Israel at Passaic, and other interviews of people who were either involved with Reb Shlomo or who were at the funeral. So it was a very timely program. I want to point out that that week of his death was also a great tragedy in Israel, a bombing at Dizengoff Square, Dizengoff Center, where 20 people were killed and 48 injured. And the end of the second hour, towards the end of the second hour, you'll hear comments about that tragedy. So it was a very tough week. But let's get right to the Kalbach special. Again, this was recorded the evening of Kalbach's funeral, which was October 23rd, 1994, 21 years ago. Good evening and welcome to another 2 hours of Jewish Soul. This is your host, Charlie Bernhout. Each week we bring you the best in cantorial, Yiddish, Israeli, and American Jewish music. We come to you from WSOU at Seton Hall University in beautiful South Orange, New Jersey. The phone number here is 201-761-9768. That's 201-761-9768. Well, in the background we hear the late Reb Shlomo Kalbach died this past Friday, buried, or the funeral was this morning, and the body is on its way to Israel, perhaps in Israel at this moment. This was quite a week. Disaster in Tel Aviv earlier this week. Reb Shlomo dying on Friday. Our show this evening will be dedicated to the memory of Reb Shlomo Kalbach. And during Chazonis, we'll be playing certain appropriate cantorial selections that reflect our feelings and our pain as to what's going on in Israel. More on that later. Let's get back to Shlomo Kalbach. It's hard to believe that he's gone. Shlomo Kalbach, rabbi, songwriter, 69 years old. As I'm quoting from the obit this past Saturday, Rabbi Shlomo Kalbach, the foremost songwriter in contemporary Judaism, who used his music to inspire and unite Jews around the world, died on Thursday at Western Queens Community Hospital. He was 69 and lived in Manhattan, Toronto, and Moshav Ur Modi'in, Israel. The cause of death was a heart attack, according to his sister-in-law, Hadassah Kalbach. Rabbi Kalbach put the words of Jewish prayer and ceremony to music that is heard at virtually every Jewish wedding and bar mitzvah, from Hasidic to Reform. In a recording career that stretched over 30 years, the rabbi sang his songs on more than 25 albums. His most famous song was Am Yisrael Chai, which was an anthem of Jews behind the Iron Curtain before the fall of communism. It continues to be sung at Jewish rallies and celebrations today. We will hear more from this, and we'll be dedicating at least the first hour, perhaps part of the second hour, to his music and to some comments from our listeners. And we're just trying to set up the mic to receive your phone calls, but we do have some comments that we'll be hearing. But first, of course, I'd like to remind you that a week from today is the third annual Great Cantors Concert. It's taking place at the State Theater in New Brunswick, New Jersey, and it'll be featuring Naftali Herstick, who'll be flying in from Jerusalem, David Bagley, cantor David Bagley from Montreal, and cantor Alberto Mizrahi from Chicago, and Daniel Gildar, cantor Daniel Gildar, will be the accompanist. If you haven't been to either of the other two Great Cantors concerts, it's a real happening. Even if you're not into Chazonis, it's a wonderful day. We'll have over 1,000 people, probably around 1,100, 1,200 attending. Just to be together with so many Jews itself is it's an adventure. It's at 2 o'clock at the State Theater. If you'd like information about tickets, give me a call here at 201-761-9768. 201-761-9768. I'll tell you how to go about that. And it's very easily reached, by the way. It's only about 4.5 minutes off of the New Jersey Turnpike Exit 9. For those of you who are listening in Brooklyn, you cross Staten Island, take the Verrazano, Staten Island, cross Island Parkway, whatever it's called, to the Gothels Bridge. Take New Jersey Turnpike a few exits south to Exit 9. And Route 18 North, 2 miles to New Street, cross over at 18, and you're three traffic lights, you're at the theater. It's dynamite. So still a few good tickets left, not many, but there are no bad seats at the State Theater. And next Saturday night, a week from last night, don't forget that Bar Ilan on Broadway will feature Dudu Fisher. It's at the Town Hall. Dudu Fisher and Safam, and our friend Nachum Siegel is the master of ceremonies. You can call 212-237-1286 for more information about this coming Saturday evening. And one last note about the Chazonis. Next Sunday, following our concert, the Congregation Talmud Torah of Flatbush at 1305 Coney Island Avenue in Brooklyn will have Moshe Stern and Tibor Kellen That's at 7 o'clock. And as I've told my listeners before, if you want to attend both, it's no problem because cantor Daniel Gildar is the accompanist at both. And the second one isn't going to start until he leaves until he leaves our concert. So that's that. We'll go to one of his earliest albums. Actually, his first two albums were Haneshoma Loch and Borchi Nafshi. And I'll be playing some of his early selections. Let's hear Mimkomcha. This is from the album Haneshoma Loch.
Thank you. was from the first album 30 years ago or so, Hanashomaloch.
With me, our good friend Arnie Young from Clark, New Jersey. Good evening, Arnie.
Good evening, Charlie. How are you?
Okay, I know that you had quite varied experiences with Reb Shlomo.
Yes. I must tell you that he was a legend in his own time, and he provided we, the Jewish people, with a tremendous amount of spiritual feeling regarding how we reach God. And Shlomo had this uncanny ability to be able to reach God through music. I mean, music was his communicator, and he also communicated it to the people whom he was with. I had the privilege of being at five or six of his concerts, and I don't think there was a person there that felt that they weren't somehow in connection with something spiritual during these concerts. He was very, very, he was a devout individual in terms of his feeling for Jews, his feeling for Israel. He performed at a concert in our shul, Temple Beth Or in Clark, some 7 or 8 years ago. And I picked him up at his apartment in New York and brought him in. And he spoke about Israel, and he spoke about his love for the Jewish people, and that God had given us this land for us to protect, and for us to love, and for us to pretend, for us to be there, and for us to also sing praises. That was his thing. His thing was to constantly sing praises to God. I had the privilege of spending some time with his brother Eli, who was a great writer, who passed away, Avshalom. Passed away a couple of years ago, but Shlomo is somebody who we will sorely miss. And as Nachum Siegel put it, Yasher Koach to you for what you have provided for the Jewish people, because he did provide a tremendous amount of spirit and spiritual music that will live on forever.
Well, certainly when we use the phrase soul music, he epitomized soul music.
He was able to touch everybody, and in a very, very special way. And as a matter of fact, I know that you and I had been discussing the opportunity of a concert soon that we're going to put together. And you know, I mentioned his name, and you know, he would have been, you know, certainly one of these people that would have participated. So he's going to be there in spirit, and I think that spirit is going to help tremendously.
You know, we all have our regrets for things undone, and quite frankly, I had called several of the phone numbers that I have for him over the past few months with the hope of having a two-hour Shlomo Carlbach special with him here at the studio, and it's certainly a regret of mine that, number one, I didn't do it earlier, and number two, that he didn't, certainly, of course, that he died so suddenly, and we just weren't able to do it. But I have always loved his music, and my regular listeners know that he has been one of my favorites, and he's one of the real originators of the whole new wave of Hasidic music. And
is one of our great folk singers.
Yes, and his music will live on.
Yes, absolutely. His music and his neshama will live on with us for many, many years to come. And he's provided us with a tremendous legacy in that we should communicate in song as well as prayer, you know, to communicate with the Almighty.
Okay, Arnie, thanks for your comments.
Very much, and my best to you and to all your listeners, and we lost a very, very dear friend.
Yep.
Take care.
That was my friend Arnie Young, and let's go back to Shlomo Carlbach's, Reb Shlomo Carlbach's second album, and Borchi Nafshi.
Borchi Nafshi Es Hashem. Borchi Nafshi Es Hashem. Borchi nafshi es Hashem. Borchi
From Reb Shlomo Kalbach's second album, Borchi Nafshi.
I have with me on the phone right now two friends from Highland Park, Meir and Tova Friedman. Good evening.
Hi, good evening.
Hi, Charlie.
I understand that the two of you had some interesting experiences with Reb Shlomo.
Well, my first experience was when I was a college student at Brooklyn College. I think it was 1959, when he was a beginner at the time, he came to Hillel. And I recall it as if it were today. He came with his guitar, and we were just amazed at this rabbi who just within 10 minutes changed the whole atmosphere at Brooklyn College Hillel. He started dancing and singing, and we never heard of him before.
Uh-huh. That must have been exciting.
Oh, it was fantastic. It was a fantastic experience. I still remember as if it were today. He sat on a table before he started dancing. He just sat right down on the table with his guitar, and it was a wonderful evening.
Well, why don't you tell him about the time we met Rabbi Kalbach in Israel, and we were on the Ulpan. We were at the Ulpan Ben Yehuda in Netanya.
What year was that?
67, right during the war. We came to the Ulpan just before the 67 war, and we were there during the war, and it must have been either in the last day or two of the war or in the day or two just after.
Right.
When? Go ahead, Ray.
Well, there was, I think, a hospital, or it was
Recuperating home for soldiers, right uh-huh. behind, right on the beach, right behind the Ulpan.
Right.
Netanya.
And it was an evening, and we went to visit the soldiers. And there he was. He was so full of love and joy. He walked over to every soldier. They were wounded. They were sitting. They were in their chairs. And he just kissed every one of them. He took their heads in his two hands, and he just kissed them, and he said, "Look, what you have done for us, for the Jewish people, and for our country, we'll forever be grateful to you." And he went to every soldier. We were just—it was so amazing. He was crying, and then he started the dancing and the singing, and the soldiers that could join joined in. Some of us were volunteers or just people from the community. We joined with him. It was a wonderful, wonderful, very, very touching evening.
Yeah.
It was amazing. My recollection from a long time ago, I can't actually recall. He must have appeared, I think it was a town hall, although I don't think it was Carnegie Hall. I think it was town hall, if I remember, when he appeared. And we saw him, that is, I saw him at that time. Truly, truly amazing experience. I have to say that he wasn't all that well received at that time. A lot of people thought it was kind of strange. And it took a while to have his real self come through. He was so good, and he was so full of joy and love and life that you couldn't believe he was real. And it's over the years, and I'd met him several times after that and heard him, of course, many times, came to know how truly spiritual, how truly this man felt love for those around him. And that was just so wonderful to understand and realize that those feelings that we had were real. That is, it wasn't a man putting on an act, but this was his spirit coming through. And what he did for the Jewish people, for Jewish music, will be remembered forever. He was just amazing, and I will miss him sorely.
Yeah, it's shocking to hear that he won't be here anymore. I think we saw him, we went to a concert the last maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and again, I couldn't, it was a small concert at the temple, and again, I saw that the same spirit was there, that's 30 years apart from the first time I saw him. And yet he had the same, he evoked in me the same feeling of real love.
I can see where it's hard to believe that because we're such skeptical people, we human beings, to believe that someone could be so loving.
I remember another rabbi, it was my rabbi at MIT, had that same kind of experience. A man was so good that you couldn't believe it was true, and you had to meet him many times and know him to know that
it was sincere.
Was sincere, and mm-hmm. Rabbi Shlomo Kalbach was, as far as I can tell, and for me, forever, truly sincere and a true blessing to all who met him and to me personally.
Well, I thank you for sharing this with us, and this evening we're playing some of our favorites, and his music will certainly live on forever.
You know, the great program, and thanks a lot,
thank
Charlie.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That was Mayer and Tova Friedman, my friends from Highland Park. Let's go back to Reb Shlomo's first album, Hanashoma Loch, and his first selection on side one is Esau Einai.
Oh.
That was Reb Shlomo Kalbach from over 30 years ago. His first album, HaNeshama Lach.
I have with me Velvel Pasternak, who is the leading Jewish musicologist in the world today. Good evening, Velvel.
Good evening, Charlie.
Velvel, I know you had a lot of experiences with Reb Shlomo. Can you share some of your thoughts with us?
Well, it's a little difficult today. There's quite a large void. I knew Shlomo Kalbach in a number of ways. First of all, I was a relatively young man when I first bumped into him in town hall. And later on, I really had the privilege of doing his second volume of music, which I notated for him. And just 2 years ago, a complete anthology of the music of Shlomo Kalbach. And he was a unique individual, and he'll be sorely missed.
People are talking about the number of songs that he wrote. Is there any idea of how many?
It's difficult to say. I mean, there's a lot that isn't in print. I mean, the book that I did for him 2 years ago has 140 pages in it and some 160 various melodies. I imagine he composed much more, but it's not the sheer number that's important. It is that he really was the front or the resource for all of those who came after him. He really started a trend in this new music, which we have sometimes called neo-Hasidic music or yeshivish music or... He's really the one who did it, and everyone has to look to him. And the other interesting thing is that of all of the, quote, composers and the young people who have come on the scene and composed melodies, his are really and truly, by and large, the ones that have lasted.
They certainly touch the soul. When we talk about soul music...
It's a very interesting thing. I've often said it. If you look at a piece of music of Shlomo Kalbach on paper, it really doesn't look like much from a point of music. And yet, when you sing it, I mean, there's something that's non-definable that makes you want to keep on singing it. And so some of his little nagunim that you'd never think... mean a whole lot in terms of a musical masterpiece, yet have been taken on by the world and are sung, and that's the proof in melody writing. If you write a melody that the Jews all over the world, from all walks of Jewish life, I mean, whether it's Reform Jews or Conservative Jews or Reconstructionist Jews, everybody sang Shlomo's music. Everybody could sing it, and to tell you the truth, it caused a kind of Briderschaft, a brotherliness. I mean, when you got together in a room and everybody sang a liturgically based text to a melody of Shlomo.
He had difficulty in early acceptance, in being accepted early, as I understand.
You know, anybody that is like Ari Goldman said yesterday, pointedly in the Times, he worked outside of the structure. Anyone that deviates from a norm and does something, you know, that is not quite traditional in his attempt to bring people closer to things Jewish, you know, is often by the straight-laced, organized religious community looked at with a kind of skeptical eyes. Shlomo had a passionate love for all people, no matter where they came from, and his music. I'll never forget when I was a young married, my wife and I went out to a hotel which has long been gone. It's long gone already, but this was in 1957, and as young couples will do sometimes, we left our home in Crown Heights at 11:30 at night with two other couples. We went to the Laurel Park Hotel, and we came in about 2:30 in the morning, and in the main ballroom of the hotel, we saw some 200 Reform young people, Reform Jewish young people, who were literally stoned to the walls not with drugs, God forbid, but with the music of Shlomo. There he was sitting in the middle of the room with a candle, and here were these 300 kids from Nifty or wherever it was, literally high on his music and on his personality. I'll never forget that scene. It wasn't, these were straight, clean-cut kids who were just, they looked like they were in another world at 3 o'clock in the morning.
He did have a way of bringing out a certain fellowship among Jews.
Yes, and he had something else. If he would have appeared in town hall during his early years, dressed in a kapote or a bekeshe, a frock coat as we know it, and he would be wearing a beaver hat, a black, you know, hat that yeshivish people, then probably nobody would have paid attention. But he came out in the Belafonte open sport shirt, which became his white shirt, became his hallmark, with a vest, and he had a candelabra,
the pianist.
Whose name eludes us.
Yes.
And just this kind of contradiction of seeing somebody in modern garb and singing tefillah, singing holy text was enough. It's something that the Jew in 1960, the young Jew, needed, to see a rabbi who could wear a Belafonte sports shirt and have a guitar strung over his shoulder, and then when he needed to drink a glass of water in the middle of his performance, would say a blessing, Shachon Yabidvaro. This caught the imagination of American Jews who were traditionally minded or who were not, and then to have his first recording arranged by Milt Okin, who was Harry Belafonte's arranger, and to be the first to have an American sound, truly an American sound, an American, how shall I say it? I mean, the Eastern European modality of the music was gone, and suddenly there was a refreshing kind of melody which said, hey, we're in America now, you know, we're going to borrow a little bit from our surroundings, just like the Hasidim of yesteryear borrowed from their surroundings musically, but we're going to turn it into a new kind of Jewish music. And he was able to do that with the strains of America. He put it on to the oldest strains of East European music, and he was very successful. Again, the proof is in the pudding. I mean, his songs, Essa Einai, Hanashamalach, Am Yisrael Chai,
Ein Kel Okeinu, we just sang it in Shul.
Worldwide. I mean, people, I have to tell you this. I did some research at the Heicha Shlomo in the archives of the religious music in the Machon Musica Datit. It's a section that they have where they catalog all Jewish melodies. In 1970, when I spent a sabbatical year in Israel, I was asked to go through their files, and in the files, melodies of Shlomo Kalbach appeared that were credited to Lubavitch, to Bubov, to Mozhitz, to anything. And I went up to the head man, whose name was Meir Shimon Geshuri, who was the expert on Hasidic music at the time, may he rest in peace, and I said, why? I mean, some people may not be, you know, all that grateful for the way he does these things, but why? You know, and the world knows that he wrote these melodies. Why are they credited to every other organization? And he threw up his shoulders, and I tell you, with great glee, I went through all of those cards, and with a big pencil, I scratched through all the other names, put down in large letters, Shlomo Kalbach.
That's quite a story. I have in my hand two albums. One is Borchi Nafshi, that's the Okin, Milton Okin album.
Right, and the first one,
Hanashoma Loch.
Well, those are the Milton Okin albums.
Oh, those are the first two, by the way?
Those are the first two,
because,
yeah.
You know, I have so many recordings, and they never give dates, and we really have to have a record dating chart someday.
As a matter of fact, I said to him, may he rest in peace, many, many times, to find two clean copies of those recordings, and perhaps some of your listeners out there may have mint condition recordings, because no one seems to have them, and to really put those... those recordings out because they are absolutely superior. I was able to convince the Welk Group in California, which is the Lawrence Welk organization, who had bought out Vanguard Records, and with it came a wonderful record of Shlomo's called Mikdash Melech.
Palace of the King, was it?
Silverman Orchestra.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, about 30 years ago.
Right.
And I was able to convince them, non-Jews, that Shlomo was a name that would be around for a long time. And 2 years ago, they manufactured Mikdash Melech. Now, the Lawrence Welk Group, and they put it out again. And
in CD now, yes.
In CD and in cassette. And that's done with the 70-piece orchestra. Shlomo recorded with that orchestra, the Benedict Silverman Orchestra, which was in Holland. And it's just a superior piece of work with his earlier Nagunim.
Gee, I hope I can get some of those recordings for my concert next week. a lot of interest.
If you stop by, we'll make them. I have to say this to you in all candor. It's going to be rather sad, but I think I heard already that there was a run on some of his material in Borough Park Friday morning after his demise.
Uh-huh.
And that he is going to sell much better now posthumously. A little bit sad.
Yes.
A little sad.
Yes.
And I'm even afraid as his publisher, you know, and as the fellow who put out the music, to call my stores and I say that this material is available, which you pass by all these months and all these years, because it'll seem as if now I'm grubbing on. I'm in a little bit of a quandary. I have to tell you, I did his anthology of Jewish music and most people stayed away from it like the plague. And there's no reason. And Ben-Sion Solomon in Israel just came out with a wonderful book called Shlomo Shabbos, in which he has all of his Shabbos material. And that, too, we sent around to the stars. Shlomo, you know. Now it'll go.
Yes, it is sad.
But I want you to know something. My wife told me that she was at the funeral today, and as she walked down, she heard the singing. And, you know, traditionally, we do not... We do not use music at a funeral since olden times.
Yes.
Today, I have to tell you, it was appropriate to sing his Nagunim.
Mm. Yeah.
The appropriate.
Mm.
And it's, I know, from the Camp Ramaz to the Camp Swigs to the Camp Morashaz, I mean, it's been all his music, and it's been the font of every band that plays at any traditional Jewish wedding, and one of them said to me, without Shlomo, we would have nothing to play all these years.
Interesting.
Because everything else has a period, you know, if you go to these from weddings, everything has a period that it's in for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks. Shlomo stuff is in. It's been in for 35 years. It'll probably be in for the next 200 years.
Yes.
And it's something indefinable. I said something never in derogatory, but in my own fashion, that Shlomo was a man who really did not compose. He was a man who really did not sing. He was a man who really did not play, and all of that worked magnificently for him.
I love it.
Yeah, and I never meant that in any kind of derogatory format. I mean, it's not a voice that could compare with the great Jewish voices of our time, and certainly his guitar playing, by his own admission, left something to be desired. And as I said, his melodic writing was nothing that you'd write home about, and yet all of that worked. More than any other quote, Baal Kiruv person was trying to do it, it worked. And he left a legacy that that musicians are going to really study and wonder what it was in these melodies and in his personality that caused people to sing.
Hmm. Well, Velville, thank you for taking the time to share these thoughts with us. Velville Pasternak.
My pleasure.
Shalom.
Shalom.
That was my friend Velville Pasternak with his reminiscences of the late Reb Shlomo. And in the obituary yesterday in the Times, in the last year, Rabbi Kaulbach gave concerts in Morocco, Australia, France, Germany, Austria, and Israel, of course, as well as the United States. He was born in 1925 in Berlin, where his father, Naftali, was an Orthodox leader. The family, which fled the Nazis in 1933, lived in Switzerland before coming to New York in 1939. His father became the rabbi of a small synagogue on West 79th Street, Congregation Kehilat Jacob. Shlomo Kaulbach and his twin brother Eli Chaim took over the synagogue after their father's death in 1967. He studied at the Yeshiva Torah Vadat in Brooklyn and at the Beis Medrash Gavoa in Lakewood, New Jersey. From 1951 to 1954, he worked as a traveling emissary of the Grand Rabbi of Lubavitch, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson. During that period, he also picked up a guitar and began writing songs and visiting coffee houses and clubs in Greenwich Village, where he met Bob Dylan, Pete Seeger, and other folk singers. They encouraged his singing career and helped the rabbi get a spot at the Berkeley Folk Festival in 1966. After his appearance, he decided to remain in the Bay Area to reach out to what he called lost Jewish souls, runaways, and drug-addicted youth. He founded a commune synagogue called the House of Love and Prayer. Here's a quote. "If I would have called it Temple Israel, nobody would have come," he said. "I had the privilege of reaching thousands of kids. Hopefully I put a little seed in their hearts." 11 years later, he closed the House of Love and Prayer and took the remnants of the congregation to Israel. We established the small settlement of Moshav or Modi'in in Lod near Ben-Gurion Airport. The settlement now has about 35 families. Rabbi Kalbach is survived by his wife, Nila Kalbach, and two daughters, Neshama and Nadara, all of Toronto, and a sister, Shulamith Levovitz of Muncie, New York. Let's hear one selection that certainly is, well, it's not, hundreds are well known to us, but this one we sing in our shul quite frequently on Shabbos. Shlomo Kalbach. You tuned in late, and in case you are not aware, Reb Shlomo Kalbach died Thursday night. His funeral was this morning. His body is on its way to Israel, perhaps has landed in Israel by this time. We've been dedicating this first hour and perhaps part of the second hour to the great Reb Shlomo.
I have with me on the phone a young man from Borough Park by the name of Yerachmiel Eller, who was a great fan of Shlomo's, of Reb Shlomo. Good evening.
Hi.
Yerachmiel, I understand you went to the funeral today.
Yes, at the Shlomo Shul on 79th Street, Manhattan. And I came kind of late, I'd say about 9:45, even though the services started at 9 o'clock. Hundreds, maybe thousands of people outside, their umbrellas was raining quite a bit, and there was a loudspeaker outside, and you could hear the hespedim, the eulogies over the loudspeaker quite clearly, and there were some young boys, young Hasidim, adherents of Shlomo's, who gave their thoughts about their relationship with Shlomo, and some of them became choked up in the middle, and they were crying, and one or two were actually singing some of his songs, and that's how close they fell to him. And then there was the usual Kale Mole, which was said very well at the end, and then the entire crowd at the very end of the service began to follow the hearse, and as the people were following the crowd, as the crowd was following the hearse, some of the people began to actually sing some of Shlomo's songs, and there was particularly one there, Lulei Sarasva Shashuai Ozavarti Vonyi, I think maybe you know it. La ra 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 ri ra ra da ra 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 ra, and it just kept on going for blocks as the entire crowd was following.
Wow.
You would think at a funeral service, where do you hear music? But yet it was very appropriate, and I was thinking to myself, you know, David HaMelech, who composed this verse, it's in Kuf Yetzer, 119 in the Psalm, had Ruach HaKodesh to compose the words, and I said to myself, Shlomo had Ruach HaKodesh to compose the music to the words. And somebody once told me that Shlomo sang this before Rav Aaron Kotler, of blessed memory, who used to be the Rosh Yeshiva in Lakewood, and every time Shlomo sang it for him, Rav Aaron began to cry. He was moved by it.
Interesting.
That's the way it was. The people were following in, with respect, and they were singing the song, and it was very moving, the entire Levaya. You had cross-sections of Jewish people from all over. You had Hasidim, and you had people who didn't have hats. You had young mothers with their children, and with their husbands, and one young lady came with her child, and she even had a dog. And, you know, it just showed how informal the entire thing was, and yet everybody came to pay respect.
Yeah, and the universal appeal that he had.
Yes, universal appeal for everyone. The music is just so great. The music will live forever. There's no question about it.
I understand that you are quite a fan of his.
Oh, always. I've always been. The music is very moving, and it's very inspirational. And you can adapt much of the music to some of the services in shul, you know, like on Shabbos, you can sing Mim Komcha for it, or L'chadodi. There are many songs. If you read the obituary in yesterday's Times.
Yes,
you remember he says there that his songs are sung at bar mitzvahs and the weddings and Reformed, Conservative, and Orthodox. But it's not only at bar mitzvahs and weddings, it's sung practically every Shabbos by anybody who knows any of Shlomo's music.
Right.
And he's very inspiring, and the music is absolutely enchanting, and as I just said, it'll live on and on.
Did you ever meet him?
Yes. Yes, I've met him several times.
He had a certain magnetism.
Oh, yes, no question about it. He was very approachable. That was the thing. Some rub on him, they're aloof, and they're very well-versed in learning, but somehow they keep a distance. But Shlomo was not that way. He was very appealing, and that's why he appealed to, let's say, people who are on the fringes of religious orthodoxy, and I'm sure he attracted quite a few hundred, and who maybe those who are on the borderline, the music, actually convinced them to become religious.
Interesting.
Question about it.
Interesting. Yerachmiel, thank you for taking the time to share these thoughts with us.
Hey, thank you, Charlie.
Okay.
Before Velvel mentioned the album Mikdash Melech in the Palace of the King, which came out quite a few years ago, and maybe 20, 25 years ago, but it was with Benedict Silberman Chorus and Orchestra, and it's out on the tape and CD, and as Velvel says, it's one of the better recordings. We're not saying that they're his greatest songs, but the recording is that magnificent. Let's hear V'yismachu v'cho Yisrael, give true joy to those who live to hallow your name.
Yismechu becho Yisroel, Yismechu becho Yisroel, Yismechu becho becho Yisroel, Mikat sheshemecho. Yismechu becho Yisroel, Yismechu becho Yisroel, Yismechu becho becho Yisroel. Kad sheshemecho, v'yismechu becho Yisroel, v'yismechu becho Yisroel, v'yismechu becho becho Yisroel, mekad sheshemecho, v'yismechu becho Yisroel, v'yismechu becho Yisroel, v'yismechu becho.
That was Reb Shlomo Kaulbach, and we'll be coming back to our special in memory of the late Reb Shlomo, who died this past Thursday. Well, this is the last day that I'll be talking about the Great Cantors Concert, the third annual Great Cantors Concert. It's taking place next Sunday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon at the State Theater in New Brunswick, New Jersey. It's featuring Cantor Naftali Herstick. We'll hear from him later. Cantor David Bagley, we'll also hear from him. Alberto Mizrahi from Chicago. Herstick is from Jerusalem. Bagley from Toronto. From Montreal. And who else? Daniel Gildar is the accompanist. It's at 2 o'clock. It's a real happening. And if you haven't been to any of these concerts, believe it or not, New Jersey has some great concerts. And we also have a great theater. It's at the State Theater in New Brunswick, New Jersey. And if you haven't purchased your tickets yet, give me a call here at 201-761-9768. That's 201-761-9768. Or call my temple tomorrow morning at 201-545-6482, 908-908-545-6482. and we'll give you directions how to get there and tell you about what seats are available. I point out to you that that evening at 7 o'clock, the Congregation Talmud Torah Flatbush at 1305 Coney Island Avenue in Brooklyn will be having cantors Moshe Stern and Tibor Kellen at 7 o'clock that Sunday evening, October 30th. Don't forget the next Saturday evening, Dudu Fisher and Safam will be at the Town Hall, sponsored by Bar Ilan. Our friend Nachum Siegel is the master of ceremonies, and you can call Bar Ilan at 212-337-1286. That's 212-337-1286 for information about tickets. That's presented by Bar Ilan University in Israel. Time is now 9 p.m., and this is Charlie Bernhout with 2 hours of Jewish Soul. We're brought to you each week over WSOU at Seton.
Okay, so you've been hearing a lot of little tidbits about that period. Yes, I started running concerts in 1992, 1993, 1994, and 1995. And this one was with Herstick, Bagley, and Mizrahi. And that day, after my concert, I rushed over to the Talmud Torah Flatbush to hear Stern, Moshe Stern and his nephew, Tibor Kellen. It was a wonderful day of chazanis. Anyway, this is the end of the first hour of a special that I did 21 years ago, the day of Reb Shlomo Carlbach's funeral. And we'll have more interviews and more of his selections. And as I noted earlier, this was a tough week because it was during this week also that on Dizengoff Square there was a bus bombing that killed 20 and injured close to 50. Of course, you never hear about the injured. Many of them pass on later on from their injuries and lead very tough lives. And It was a tough week, and what can I say? I'll be playing some chazanis at the end of the second hour. That was appropriate at that time on my mind as to the terrorism. Ein kadosh tachat ha-shemesh. There's nothing new under the sun, is there? The hate and the killing continues, and we just have to fight it as best we can. Well, thank you so much for joining with me this first hour, and stay tuned for the second hour. Again, this was a recording from 21 years ago. Thank you.